right, welcome to another episode of Piecing It Together, the podcast where we take a look at a new movie and try to figure out what movies inspired it. And today on the show, we're going back into the Marvel Cinematic Universe for the beginning of the next major phase of all of the things that will take up all the air in the room when it comes to movies for the next 10, 15, 20 years. It is Marvel's Eternals, directed by Chloe Zhao. And joining me is James Anderson from the Timeline Scavengers podcast. James was on the podcast a couple of years back. I'm glad to have him back. We have a great conversation coming up. We had a lot of fun talking about this one. It's not a very good movie, but still, that doesn't really matter. We get to talk about puzzle pieces, and we have a lot of them between the two of us. So, great conversation coming up here. Before we get to it, I do want to remind you, as always, to make sure you are subscribed to Piecing It Together, wherever you listen to podcasts. You can rate and review us over on Apple Podcasts or Podchaser or Good Pods. We appreciate the 5 stars. We appreciate a nice, concise, well-thought-out little review. But you could also just get in touch with me, you know. I'm also on social media at Piecing Pod. There's also the Facebook group Popcorn and Puzzle Pieces, where we continue the conversation about all the movies we talk about here on the show. And you could also just email me, bydavidrosen@gmail.com. I love to hear from people who listen to the show. You know, if we missed any puzzle pieces you think we should have talked about, or if you want to maybe join me for an upcoming episode. There's plenty of movies I'm going to be wanting to cover, so get in touch. I'd love to hear from you. So with that said, I do want to mention we do have a Patreon, the Produced by David Rosen Patreon. We post bonus and advanced content from Piecing It Together, as well as stuff from Awesome Movie Year, the other movie podcast I produce, and stuff from my music career. And I will be posting a couple of new early Piecing It Together episodes this week on there, so definitely check that out. And then there's also bonus content from Awesome Movie Year. I'm getting towards releasing a bonus companion album to my most recent album, The Dissection Table. I have some extra tracks that I kind of pulled out of the film score that that album comes from, and I'm going to get that up there very soon. When, I don't know, but it's going to happen, and it will exclusively be on the Patreon. So check out the Produced by David Rosen Patreon, and with that said, let's talk about Eternals. All right, so it's Marvel time again on the show, and joining me today to talk about Eternals, James Anderson. His first time on the show in a couple of years now. We just figured this out. James, how's it going, man?
It's going okay. It's wild. The lifespan of podcast guesting is so short. It feels like over 2 years is like forever.
Crazy.
For some people. Yeah.
Man, it's like we've been doing this stuff a long time, and we just keep doing it, basically. I mean, we'll
Absolutely.
Be on phase 8 of Marvel Cinematic Universe by the time, you know, I don't know. But,
exactly.
Yeah, this will be an interesting movie to talk about. That's that's number one to get out of the gate here. This is, of course, a major cornerstone of the next, I don't know how many years of the Marvel Cinematic Universe. I mean, it's the biggest thing of the last 15 years has been these Marvel movies. And now this is the start of whatever's going to come next. And it has been, you know, at best received in a mixed way, I would say. This is we're recording this a week after it came out. What did you think of the movie?
I would say I liked it in situ. I like remembering things that happened in it. But when it comes to a whole thing, they tried to squeeze a whole bunch in, and it feels like that is like, you know, I don't think it's legal for the purposes of this show, but pieces of this movie I feel are the 3 Eternals movies that should have been instead of this one movie.
Sure.
Like, at least I was listening with my friend. I listed like 6 different movies that I could see full movies for that were plotted in this movie. And that was tough.
And to be clear, that is the weird thing about this movie. And we'll get into plenty more along the way as we're doing puzzle pieces and all that. But just to kind of throw it out there, the weird thing about this movie to me is it seems like the success of the Marvel Cinematic Universe is very specifically, I mean, yes, there's a long history of fandom for these characters, but it seems like the success of the movies was in all of these origin stories and then teaming them all up.
Yes,
and exactly they're almost right. Going against their own strategy here.
Well, you have to either have beloved historical characters like Spider-Man, where you can skip the origin,
mm-hmm.
thank God, or do the origin that hasn't been done a bunch of times, and then, yeah, put them together. Or Guardians of the Galaxy, where you're introducing a whole bunch of characters no one's ever heard of. Captain Marvel, I guess, was sort of the same way, where it's like, but the soundtrack somehow smooths the transition for people that don't really know what's going on into, like, well, I don't know who these people are, but I sure do like this song from the 70s, so I guess I'll hang out.
Yeah.
This had none of that.
No, it didn't.
Here's
it
10
just had
characters 10
new characters. You owe me a Coke. Yeah, you know, clearly we're both going to have plenty to say. Let's start with some puzzle pieces here, and we'll get into all the things we want to say along the way. What do you have for your first piece?
Well, I considered Magnificent Seven, but that's not quite right. So Blues Brothers is my first puzzle piece, because there's a definite getting the band back together thing going on here.
Sure,
That is a large portion of this movie, so I definitely gotta like, and we're here now. Oh, I haven't seen you in years, sort of deal. No musical performances by Aretha or James Brown, but
no, we do have Kumail doing his Bollywood thing, though.
So there you go. Oh man, there's a whole Bollywood piece, a whole section of puzzle pieces that I'm gonna not be able to even talk about. Oh man, wow, this movie had so much. It wasn't a thin movie. It was just it was too much to process, I feel like.
Right. There's a lot packed in, and things can apply here, they can apply there, or just not apply at all to certain sections of the movie. And
exactly.
Yeah. But yeah, it is very much, though, a getting the band back together kind of movie. And it's a, I don't know. I guess in one way, though, that has kind of been the recent Marvel formula. It's like using different kind of archetypes of different styles of action movie and kind of putting them into the superhero world. And so I guess it makes sense to use that as a framework, but at the same time, like we said, we need to know who all these people are so we can care about them.
right, exactly. And the Blues Brothers also had the thing that really confused me growing up was that there was backstory they alluded to that I was like, did I miss? Was this a something that largely over the past decades I've realized I think it's just alluded to, and that sort of felt like this too, where it was like, we meet again after all that stuff we went through, and it's like, I mean, we saw some of it but we didn't see all of it, so
sure,
I guess we'll just sort of go along with they know what they're talking about.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. Well, I'm going to go on to my first piece, and I'm not really familiar at all with the Eternals comics, so I'm not sure how much of this comes from the comics and how much is just movie-specific or whatever, but for my first piece, I'm not going to go with a movie. I'm going to go with a History Channel TV series, History Channel of all places, called Ancient Aliens. And it was a fun show for a few seasons. For people who like to dip their toe into the conspiracy theory world of aliens having visited us and helped us along with our technology and our achievements as human beings, the show kind of went off the deep end once they started getting into some really far-fetched stuff. And I think we stopped watching, my wife and I, girlfriend at the time, when they started blaming aliens for werewolves, which is like, okay, I guess we've run out of ideas for this show now, but the central idea here with the Eternals is that for the last 7,000 years they've been on Earth. They were sent to protect us from the Deviants, which are like these demon dog things, and there's a whole ulterior motive which we'll probably get into because we do spoilers here on the show. I won't jump to that quite yet, but what I will say, though, is while they've just been stuck here on Earth, just hanging around until their next mission operative or whatever, they are just kind of help helping us along and helping us with our growth as a species and with technological advancements. And that is what they've been doing for the last 4,000 years, instead of stopping famine and the Holocaust and Thanos and all these things. They've just been helping us along, I guess. Right. So just like the ancient aliens.
Exactly, exactly. Actually, if I may, that leads me into one that I had, which was Star Trek.
Okay.
There's kind of a Prime Directive thing going on here where it's like, we can't interfere. We got to just watch this. But what if we did interfere? But we can't. But what if we did? Just that kind of conflict, kind of blending with that ancient aliens thing where it was like, we're so much more civilized than these people. We could help them so much, but we can't because we're so
right.
We have so much integrity.
Yeah. and I'm not really a Star Trek guy. I'm not really that big of a like hardcore nerdy sci-fi guy. But at the same time, I think this movie would have definitely benefited from more of that. I think getting into the sci-fi of the fact that you've got these, you know, space alien god robot creature things that are here helping us along, and you know, and what that means, and where, you know, where that takes us, and what it means for humanity and our history and all that stuff, I think getting into some of that would have helped. And I know, you know, people were very much hoping for Chloe Zhao coming off the win for Nomadland, and her other work is fantastic as well, was going to bring in more humanity to all these characters, and somehow in getting mixed up with the Marvel machine, I think she just wasn't able to do that. It's a combination of that and there just being too many to focus on.
Yeah.
So if you're not going to do that, focusing on the sci-fi would have been, I think, a better direction.
Sure, for sure. Have the system more be a character than the individual characters themselves. That makes sense.
Yeah. Well, I'll go to another puzzle piece then. It kind of like piggybacks right off those ideas of sci-fi. And that is going to be Ridley Scott's Alien prequels, Prometheus and Alien Covenant, movies which I am a big defender of. I really do love those. Maybe part of it is because as good as Alien and Aliens are, they're not like my favorite movies. So it, like, I don't have that history with the series so much.
Sure.
And so I just really like the ideas it tries to put forward about the creators of humans and the creators of whatever came before that. And the relationship between, you know, creators and their creations and all that stuff.
Totally.
And filling in these gaps of history on the planet that, of course, are fictionalized and total sci-fi, but feel like in a strange, weird way. And we actually just talked about this on the Dune episode, the other biggest movie of the year. Dune and Eternals really are like kind of the big movies this year. And they both, I think, were inspired by Prometheus and Alien Covenant because they both have that feeling of like you're watching some kind of ancient history book being pulled out, and we're finding out what happens before we were alive. And it's an interesting direction to take thing, and very, like I said, very sci-fi-ish, and I wish it leaned more into that.
For sure. I was actually on a podcast talking about 3 minutes in the middle of Alien Covenant, which I'd never seen. I'd seen Alien. I know the rough premise of Aliens, and then I have seen the one thing with Sigourney Weaver and the thing from Alien 3. And then I'd seen nothing else. So the host of it was like, yes, like a Dr. Frankenstein. Ooh, this will be so interesting to have you watch Covenant with no other context. And I was like, this is awesome. How come people like don't, how can people say this isn't good? This is amazing. And like really, really thought provoking and stuff. Like a genesis of a planet sort of deal. What do you do if you are the first people there?
Yeah, absolutely. There's so many interesting ideas baked into there. And that's why I really love those movies. And I don't know, obviously Last Duel didn't do too well in theaters, unfortunately, and we'll see what happens with House of Gucci. But I hope he gets to make his third one. It's supposed to be a 3-movie series. I'm still holding out hope. I don't know if it'll ever happen, but I want to know what happens with David.
Yeah,
totally. The Android. But what do you got for your next piece?
I think that the next thing that makes most sense to go to is something that I'll hold for later. What about Umbrella Academy? That's something that occurred to me.
Okay, I did not watch that. I know it was very popular, though.
It was very It was very good and interesting and very sort of like, ah, yes, indie comic books, got it. Which is not to say that, you know, Eternals from Marvel is an indie comic book by any stretch of the imagination, but there was an element of there's a whole bunch of people that are very different, but they were a team, and then they got broken up, and now what are the repercussions of that having happened? Their leader sort of disbanded the stuff, and then they have to get back together under sort of mysterious solve a murder sort of circumstances that also have to do with the end of the world kind of thing.
Right.
And there's also sort of a snark factor that was in Eternals that is also in Umbrella Academy, where it's like, heroes, rolls eyes, or yeah, heroes, raises fist, but also, you know, like all the different ways you can look at superhero-dom and stuff like that was in both of them too.
Yeah, that's necessary for Marvel movies. Totally. I mean, that's kind of par for the course. But yeah, no, I know a lot of people really like that. And I think even though Eternals are not, you know, an indie comic book, it is still a smaller run. From what I understand, there was only like, what was it, like a dozen issues or something?
Yeah, it was something that I had never... I'm reading some old comics at the moment, and so far the Eternals are basically this evil group of aliens that like are like the bosses of this other alien. I'm like, this is going to be what the movie's about. I don't really understand what's going to happen here. And then by the end of the movie, I was like, all right. Yeah, no. Yeah. Everything sort of checks out, I guess.
So. I guess so. Yeah. I don't know, man. Because you know me. I'm not like a big superhero guy, comic book guy. And they won me over with fun movies. You know what I mean? Like Iron Man was so much fun. The Captain America movies are so much fun. Ant-Man, all these things. I don't know if they're going to be able to keep me with this, like, just this heavy, just space stuff. Like it's so over the top, and like I like over the top, but I don't know if they're gonna be able to keep me on with this stuff.
They need to figure out a tone. They need to figure out what tone they're going for, because like, you know, you had like Brian Tyree Henry absolutely destroying in this movie. I loved him so much. Killing it in sort of a Black Panther vibe kind of deal, with like you know, I'm doing all this hard work and being amazing, but also get off my back and back up and whatever, kind of the, you know, whatever. But you also have like very serious kind of, I guess Captain America, but like kind of like the Icarus as like, I'm this guy and I need to save the day and I have all these issues that I haven't dealt with, so I guess I'll deal with them in the movie. Like, again, if this was like four different movies, you could pick and choose what flavor you wanted, as opposed to the mystery flavor that they've blended together here, where you don't know what you're supposed to be feeling from moment to moment.
Right. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
Well, I'll go ahead with another puzzle piece here. Yeah. And these are movies that it's an entire series, actually, that I'm going to use as one piece. And I've seen these movies one time each, so they kind of all run together for me. So I'm not sure which one is which, but Michael Bay's Transformers movies, which running through these movies, which are very ridiculous, but some of them are pretty fun. The first one's genuinely pretty great. And I actually really like The Last Knight, which is so stupid, but like I had so much fun with it. But there's this thing that runs through this series where the Transformers were around for these like moments and pivotal moments in human history, you know, with the moon landing, King Arthur apparently, and you know, The Last Knight, like all this like weird stuff where yes, that happened, but also there were Transformers there.
Right.
And that's kind of what we talked about already with the Ancient Aliens. The Eternals have just been there through everything that we've been through as a species here.
Right. It's a little known fact, Transformers Last Knight is actually a direct sequel to the Richard Gere, Sean Connery movie, The First Knight.
So you
have to watch those to really get the story. You have to watch them back to back.
Yeah, absolutely. On my next rewatch, I'm going to do that.
exactly.
What do you have for your next piece?
Well, let's see. I guess I got some sort of Interview with a Vampire stuff going on here with like examination of immortality, and like how some people are like, yay, living forever, and some people are like, ugh, the endless drudge of existence, and sort of just like hanging out with each other.
Yeah. That's good. Like, that's a good piece.
Yeah, it's fun to think about how about these puzzle pieces like after the fact, because you're like, you have to sort of, especially with this one, which is just chock full of stuff, you have to be like, all right, this part, what did that make me feel? What else did that make me feel like? And you have to kind of like probe your brain to be like, oh wait, that's like in, what am I feeling here? I went on with my friends, and I was like, what is that movie where, and I think we'll get to it, it's a wildly unexpected piece for me. And I was like, where this happens, they're like, that is far too vague. And I was like, I know, it's just a feeling. I need to figure it out. But yeah, it's,
if you so can make Interview it work, Vampire, you make it work.
Yeah, exactly. You got to make it work. But Interview with a Vampire, I feel like, has that sort of, and then throughout time, they were still just there. And what would you do if you had hundreds and hundreds and thousands of years to be just there? Would you be rich? Would you be a hermit? Et cetera, et cetera, et cetera.
Yeah, yeah. No, that's a great piece. Yeah. And I mean, it is kind of, and it speaks again to it being either three movies or it being maybe a Disney Plus series, which I see a lot of people say that, and I agree with it, but that also means I probably wouldn't watch it. I haven't watched any of the Disney Plus Marvel shows yet, so right. That would be bad for me, I guess. But yeah, I mean, to see how all these people are dealing with immortality would definitely be, you know, seeing more of it anyway, would I think, maybe be an interesting direction to take this.
Well, and you could do the thing that we're talking about, and I wonder if this is what people mean when they say it. Like, you could have, oh man, that's so many people. You could probably group them into pairs or something. You could have like 8 episodes where you examined a character or a group of characters.
One and a half Eternals.
Or, yeah, exactly. And then like 10 and 11 or something are the let's get together and feel all right sort of end of the series.
Yeah,
it needed to be. My friend was like, I can't tell if it needed to be longer. I was like, no, didn't need to be longer. That is for sure not what it needed.
No,
but yeah. Being split up into more of an episodic thing, which is interesting because we keep talking about these series that it reminded us of, really pushing towards this should have been broken up.
Yeah, absolutely.
Many different pieces. That's
very true. I'll go to another piece here. This one kind of deals just more with the styling of it, and it's actually a video game. It is the latest Legend of Zelda game, Breath of the Wild,
on Nintendo Switch.
Yeah, I just think that the way that Chloe Zhao and the, you know, the animators, visual effects people, the way they designed the costumes, the weapons, the technology, all with these like glowing lines and patterns on them that really only stand to like kind of make it look cool and sort of futuristic while also ancient at the same time.
Right.
You know, it kind of has very much the same styling that Nintendo used for that new Zelda game.
Interesting. Okay, yeah, I can definitely see that. I haven't played it, but everyone I've talked to says, like, I don't really hear about the gameplay, but I do hear about like the setting and the scenery and stuff and how gorgeous a game it is, and that rings true with what this had going on for it. Yeah.
Absolutely.
Wow, good piece. Definitely cool. Good piece.
Well, what do you got next?
All right. Let's go. I had Dogma.
Okay.
And it's for a specific couple of things. Again, we have sort of an immortality thing, and we have where do you end up? Do you end up in Wisconsin? All this stuff. different philosophies of how to treat humanity. How, you know, we are super powerful. We should be subjugating them. We are not super powerful. We should not be subjugating them. One of them super devoted to a higher power that doesn't turn out great what they do with the higher power. Also happens in Dogma. And specifically, there's a thing at the end of Dogma where Ben Affleck is like flying down to win the game, and he's flying down with his wings, and he looks exactly like Icarus throughout most of this movie.
That is really funny. That's great.
Yeah,
I love that you brought Dogma up. That is such a great puzzle piece, and it's also a great companion piece to my next puzzle piece. So I'm really glad that you brought it in. You went with the more fun, light version. I went with the heavier, darker version. I'm going with Darren Aronofsky's Mother.
Okay.
Which is a movie that I absolutely love. It's very love it or hate it movie, and I bring it up on the show quite often. But I felt a lot of connection here with this movie, Eternals, especially, let's get into some spoilers here.
Yeah.
The celestial that's kind of in charge of Earth is Arishem, and he's the one that sent the Eternals to protect humans for his big plan of increasing our population so that way they can birth a new celestial out of the core of the Earth,
right,
killing all of us. So it's kind of an interesting plan, actually. Maybe my favorite part of the movie. but the idea that this character, who's essentially like the god of Earth, I mean, he's basically God, you know,
yeah,
is kind of this evil narcissist, kind of like God in Darren Aronofsky's Mother, who only cares about the adoration of his creation, and only cares about people just loving him and just doing, you know, everything in his name, is just incredibly dark and awesome. And I think is a great, great connection here to Mother.
Absolutely, absolutely. Yeah, I can definitely see that.
I love that we got Dogma and Mother as puzzle pieces for a Marvel movie. Amazing.
Absolutely. If we're getting into spoilers, then we have to bring up the next obvious puzzle piece, which is, of course, Disney's Moana.
Okay.
Where you have a large landmass scale threat that has to be taken on by someone who can affect, like, water and element stuff with her magic powers, while a larger, sort of stronger dude sort of punches the bad guys and protects her.
Sure.
And then you have to kind of calm the volcano, and then you win the game. So, like, the climax of Eternals is basically a musicless climax to Moana. Almost.
Sure. Yeah, I hadn't even thought of that, to be honest. You called it obvious, but that totally works.
I was being completely facetious with the obvious.
Okay.
It was not a...
Yeah, I certainly had not thought of it. But, I mean, I should have thought of it. It makes sense. It makes total sense.
you ever make your list of puzzle pieces, and then you look back, and you feel like you were in sort of a fugue state when you thought of them? Because you're like,
oh, yeah.
Did I really write down Moana here? I mean, it checks
absolutely
out, but like...
What one thing I haven't done recently, especially since like the pandemic, is I haven't been listening back to the episodes. Like, I edit them and then post them, and then that's it. I move on to the next one. One of these days, I'm going to listen back to some of these, and I'm just going to be like, what am I talking about? What did I say? I have no idea what I was talking about on that one. But
exactly. Yeah.
One absolutely example of that might be my next piece.
No, yes. I was like,
but yeah. Well, I don't know. People might not like my next piece, but I think it fits really well, and I'm sorry, but I saw some jokes on Twitter, and people tried to brush these jokes off, and I don't think they should. I think it totally makes sense. People said that Chloe Zhao made the first Marvel DC movie, and this movie feels so much like Zack Snyder's trilogy of DC movies. Man of Steel, Batman v Superman, and Justice League. I'm not a big fan of these movies. I think that they're fine. I don't think they're as bad as some people make them out to be. I actually like Zack Snyder's Justice League, the cut that came out earlier this year. I thought it was actually surprisingly very fun and didn't crumble under its insane length. And I think there's so many parallels between that movie and its huge history and all of these characters and all of the setup and all of the story and all the plot. You know, there's just so much going on in that movie, and that's all condensed into 2.5 hours here, along with Icarus, who is 100% Superman from Man of Steel. No question, he's Henry Cavill Superman. There is just a lot of parallels here, and I think it's a totally fair comparison.
I agree, and here's what I have owned and read a bunch of DC comics, but I still find myself incredibly unfamiliar. My experience with DC is just like my experience with Eternals, and I hadn't made this connection. I get what they're going for. I see a parallel that I recognize in the thing as I am familiar with, and the names sound incredibly made up, like you just off the cuff thought of the name for this character just while I was talking to you.
Right.
And that happened in Eternals. It was so distracting that some of them I could see clear parallels to, like, Phastos was Hephaestus.
Right.
Icarus was Icarus, et cetera, et cetera. But it was like Kingo. And I was like, I don't know. I guess I'll go research other gods. Like, Sprite. I was like, I mean, come on. Like,
yeah.
It was like they wanted to do one thing. And of course, if it's been 40 years or something since they first started doing Eternals, they've had generations of different things they were trying to squeeze in. But like, yeah, I can see DC definitely, also with like the costumes, where it's like, look at this metallic colored costume I have on. Watch me pose with it a little bit and then get going. But
sure.
Yeah. Interesting. Oh, man. Yeah.
There's a lot to unpack there.
There's a lot to unpack.
Yeah, it could be an entire episode, honestly, just talking about the connections with Man of Steel and especially Justice League. But,
yeah,
you know, there's a lot going on with that kind of a tone. But what do you have for your next piece?
Okay, here we go. Here's the big one. Here's the big, like, when I said I had some doozies, here it is.
Okay.
The movie 10 Things I Hate About You, and hear me out.
Oh, boy.
There is a moment where we have a standoff where the object of, well, the, we'll call boyfriend of one of them is making a decision to leave and do bad stuff. And the one that has the girlfriend says, I don't want to go with you. And the one that has had a crush on him from afar is like, I will go with you. Sprite goes with Icarus instead of Cersei going with Icarus. And it felt to me, and this is what I had to go to my friends with saying, what's that movie where the one that likes the one goes with the other one? And they're like, what are you even talking about? I think it is 10 Things I Hate About You, where Larissa Olenek's character decides not to go to prom with this undermodel guy, Joey, and her best friend, Chastity, who has had a secret crush on him, goes with him anyway. Mm. There's a best friend, I thought I trusted you, I thought we were family, against other people thing going on here. That feels, I guess, kind of even more like just teen rom-com-y sort of deal with that decision. I mean, because Sprite has that adolescent thing going on, sort of a perma-adolescence, which also feeds into your Kirsten Dunst in Interview with a Vampire sort of deal going on. But there's a thing where it is definitely like, there's a whole other vibe that we haven't talked about, which is I've had a crush on this guy and now I'm gonna get him and have him be my boyfriend, which is completely out of place in this and the world's ending, and we're trying to make some we are gods, will we destroy this entire race stuff going on. It's not the time, Sprite, sort of moment. So it's maybe a little tiny corner, little inside puzzle piece, but I felt like there was an element there that I wanted to, I didn't want to pass up. And
I like it. I like it. I have to say I haven't seen that movie since it first came out, like opening weekend. So I'm not quite sure that I know that particular connection. Mm-hmm.
It's a little
you're going for.
Yeah, it's a little niche.
Yeah, but I love it though. It's a great piece. And you know, just to the point that you're making there though, I mean, some of the parts of this movie I think work the least are those attempts at human, giving these space gods humanity, basically. Like, it's just it's just kind of silly that, like, these people would be so incredibly powerful, yet they'd have these very, very simple human issues. Like, it just doesn't add up, you know?
Well, and the ones that, I mean, like, Phastos worked the best, I think, because he had the most realistic conflict in that he is an armorer, an inventor who decides not to do that anymore, to be with a family man sort of stuff, in sort of keep pulling me back in Godfather style sort of deal.
Sure.
That is a bigger thing than who are you going to go to robot god prom with? Like,
right.
And that felt bigger and like more in line with sort of world ending. I have to make a choice whether I want to save this small group of people or this larger group of people.
Yeah, I agree. His story makes a little more sense. I would say Angelina Jolie's story, Tina, it makes a little bit more sense. But then the love stories, just no. They really just don't work, you know?
I have a vindictive puzzle piece that I'm going to save and see how I'm feeling.
Okay.
Kind of like a puzzle piece that I just don't like that part of the picture. But I don't know if I'm not sure. It's at the very end, and I don't know.
All
we'll
right.
have to see.
I got one more for you. Okay. I have two, but the other one I barely paid attention to the movie, so I'm not going to bring it up. Mm. But so I got one more that I'm going to actually use, and that is Men in Black. Because while these guys they don't exactly use a little flash thingy to make people forget that they were there. They certainly do show up and cause insane destruction and like aliens coming from space and these robot dog, devil, demon dog things. And they protect people from that. And then everybody just goes along their regular lives like nothing ever happened. So
Druid, did you ever do that cloudy eye thing on me? You got to tell me if you ever did that cloudy thing on me, Druid.
No. yeah it's like he must be just making everybody forget everything.
Yeah, the whole secret story where that Druig has erased a bunch of times, they're in there. It's the secret memento plot of Eternals.
Yeah, sure, a little memento in there too. So what do you have next? You said you got what, one more?
I'm gonna do one more, and then one more just sort of one sentence, the sort of biggest problem I had with the movie. So my one more serious one is Doctor Who. Aliens from other planets, living amongst humans. No one really looks twice when we have, like, holy crap, you're a robot, alien, god, immortal. Mm-hmm. Like, especially Cersei's boyfriend, Dane, Kit Harington's character. It's sort of like, oh, yeah, I was prepared for this because someone told me a while ago. And it's like, you're taking it really well, buddy. You're taking it very well. And so there's also like I need to protect this planet, but I'm an alien from it, but I've grown to love it sort of deal going on.
Mm-hmm.
So I think Doctor Who, it's like there's 10 doctors all at the same time. So it's like a holiday special.
Yeah, right. Yeah. And it's weird because, you know, I was thinking about this and it's not that much further out there than other Marvel movies. Even like, you know, Avengers Endgame and all that stuff. Like, it was huge. There was Thanos still. There was, you know, these magic and all this kind of stuff. But somehow it feels that much more weird and that much more out there. And I don't know what the reason is that they can't seem to balance it in this one where it doesn't draw attention to itself.
I think it's dosage. I think that we led up for a decade to Thanos, so that once we were there, it was like, well, this isn't all that weird.
Right.
And this, we were like, okay, hang on tight, because most of this is going to be exposition. We didn't have time for characters because we need to move the plot along, which was frustrating. But the big problem I had with it, David, was the last puzzle piece I have is Ace Ventura, Pet Detective, and here's why.
Oh, boy.
A completely unnecessary and gratuitously distracting sex scene. There is no need for the sex scene in either of those movies. It doesn't move the plot along. It doesn't move the characters along. It does nothing other than, hey, look, and they have sex, and that's it. And I hated it.
That's a stance to take, because I mean, right now I know, like, in the world of film Twitter, there's a lot of back and forth between whether or not you know, sex scenes have place in movies, and I mean, they certainly do, but it is completely unnecessary here. You're absolutely right.
They took off their armor. Like, there's so many, like, if there was a secret pregnancy plot line, which would have been wild to cram into this already overstuffed movie. But if there was like this is your child, because remember on the rocks, fine. At least it wasn't no plot service. This is literally like, and I'm sorry, it's not even like, you know, 80s movies where it's like, well, you know, at least we get to see some skin here. This is like, hey, do you like Robb Stark's back? You do? Well, guess what?
Guess what? You're in luck. Why would they even be programmed with that ability?
Why do they right? have, why do they have the software, the hardware, I guess? Well, like, man, there's a joke there, but the, you know, like,
yeah.
It doesn't make any sense for a number of reasons. And my friends are keep being like, well, it's to show how deep their love is. And I'm like, that's an incredibly unhealthy way to do that. And now I can't take my kids to see it because I'm fine with implying it happened. Like Iron Man, Iron Man 2, Iron Man 3. There's, and then I slept with her. Plot
Iron
line.
Man does that a lot.
Fine. Because it's just like, and now they're leaving. And it's not like the whole thing is right there. I don't know. It just was like, I hate this. I enjoyed the movie so much. Like, if you took that part out, I would move it up like an entire half a step. It really, really soiled it for me.
Damn. Well, that makes sense, though. I completely get it. That totally makes sense. I'm going to go ahead and do the finish puzzle here, and then we'll get into some closing thoughts. But we just talked about Blues Brothers, Ancient Aliens, Star Trek, Prometheus and Alien Covenant, Umbrella Academy, the Transformers movies, Interview with a Vampire, Zelda, The Breath of the Wild, Dogma, Mother, Moana, Zack Snyder's DC trilogy, 10 Things I Hate About You, Men in Black, Doctor Who, and Ace Ventura, Pet Detective. And holy shit, is this list all over the place.
And seems appropriate. I think we did it right. I think we did the correct ones.
I really do. I seriously do. I don't know. Are there things, you know, I'll just say right now, because we have kind of, we've kind of trashed this movie a little bit, I think, through this conversation. What are some things you liked about it?
I mean, I thought that there were some excellent interactions. I thought there was some great, I love some banter. I thought that there was cool, like, they gave Makari, who is Mercury, and but her name is Makari in this, it's fine. She was a fast and also good puncher, and that's so rare to have in a movie like this. You're either fast and then you get clotheslined, or you're slow and you're a good puncher. But she was going fast and punching, which I was like, yay! Cool representation across a number of different dimensions on this movie.
Yeah.
I like the very, you know, if you are up on your 1960s superhero references, you know, then you know who Kit Harington's going to be playing in 4 years or whatever. Right. That kind of stuff. If it was a DC movie and I didn't know it, I would be like, I don't get it and I hate it. But because I am a little immersed, I was like, oh, cool. They're not even going to say, all right, they're just going to let that one stand. So, I mean, like, I thought they were cool. I mean, they were cool. They always do. One thing I like about Marvel movies is that they have cool characters that are not the superheroes. Mm. Like Kingo's valet was just
the best part of the movie. Absolutely. That was going to be a thing I was going to say. He's so funny. And, you know, that's one thing we talk about a lot lately is how comedies, mainstream, like studio comedies, just don't exist anymore. And it's because they've been swallowed up into the whole Marvel, you know, universe. And so that's where the comedy is. And he's funny. He's very, very funny.
Yep. I was worried that Kumail was going to be too superhero-y, and he wasn't, and I was refreshed by that. Mm-hmm. And then he also brought this amazing breath of fresh air of just always has a camera, always filming at the worst moments, just like a running gag side character. You gotta love it. So fantastic. So that kind of stuff absolutely. I really liked.
I also really liked Barry Keoghan as Druig. I think that he's probably the best of the team. And Brian Tyree Henry, who's always great. Yeah. But I would say they're like kind of the standouts here. I wish I could say the same about, you know, essentially the main characters, Cersei and Icarus. I feel like they're kind of the least good, but at least some of those other characters do kind of pick up the slack.
If we'd had a sort of My Dinner with Andre, just conversation movie between Icarus and Druig, I probably would be fine with that, because I would just love to hear the two of them talk back and forth for hours and hours. Those accents were very excellent. Like, yeah. Once, weirdly, Icarus's accent didn't happen. Like, he talked, but he didn't, I guess he didn't say any words that sound Scottish until like 25 minutes into the movie. And I was like,
sure.
Wait a minute. He's not American.
I thought that was Captain America.
Yeah, exactly. He's not Bucky, even though he looks like Bucky. He's not, though. But yeah, so those accents were good. I agree that but that is not always the way. I mean, I guess Spider-Man maybe is an exception for me, but like the main character of this kind of thing is rarely cool.
Sure. Yeah.
I mean, like, I guess Iron Man, I guess, but like, usually there's, if it's like, I'm Superman, it's like, yeah, but who's your sidekick? Because what's going right on over here? Because that's where I want to be. That's where the interesting stuff is going on.
Yeah, that's actually a really good point. That is usually where the more interesting things are. But I think that about does it for Eternals. I mean, there's so many things that we could get into, but I think we knocked it out, especially when you brought up 10 Things I Hate About You. James, is there another movie you watched recently you'd like to recommend to our listeners?
Yes. And here it is. I recently watched for the first time, I have a list of Lakeith Stanfield movies that I'm watching and Anna mm-hmm. Kendrick movies I'm watching.
Okay.
Just to try and catch up on their filmographies. I recently watched End of Watch.
Okay.
With Jake Gyllenhaal and Michael Pena, and Anna Kendrick is in it too, also.
Yeah.
Very, very interesting shot movie, very interesting portrayal of law enforcement movie. So I was surprised. I'm always nervous about that kind of movie because I'm like, oh man, it's gonna be too intense. And that movie was intense for sure, but also like disarmingly charming. So I really enjoyed it.
Okay, right on. Yeah, you know, I've actually never seen it, and I it's always been on my list, so I'm going to try to get to that sometime soon for sure.
Marvel Cinematic Universe sidekick, interesting character actor Michael Pena. So
there
that's
you go.
My connection.
I love him. He rules. I love him. Right on. Well, James, why don't you tell people what you got going on and where they can find you?
For sure. I just real quick aside. Also, Jake Gyllenhaal is in Marvel movies too. So that's just,
there you go.
That's it.
Absolutely.
I am on so many podcasts. But probably the most germane to this conversation is this year, my friend Colin and I started a Marvel Cinematic Universe podcast called Timeline Scavengers, where we watch each and every scene of each and every Marvel movie and TV show that has happened basically since Iron Man, whether or not it has been decanonized, in chronological order. So,
oh,
like,
wow.
For instance, in Eternals, there are scenes in, like, the 16th century and the 6th century and all this stuff. We have it set up so that we basically put those into our episode list where they go in the timeline. Mm. So we have to say, hey, there's a new episode, but if you're listening from the beginning, it feels seamless, and we never have to be like, and here's an episode that is new but it's old, all this stuff. So we're going, it's basically, we say it's designed to last for absolutely ever, and we're, you know, bequeathing it to our children to continue in our stead, because like we said, it's an impossible, you know, it's a Sisyphean task, because they keep releasing stuff more and more. And
yeah, I take it it's just MCU though.
It is just MCU, although I didn't watch Let There Be Carnage, but I hear there's a little bit of a tunneling process going on where we may have to get into some other Spider-Man related universes there, which will increase our time a lot, and we don't need that. But
well, you got the rest of your life, so.
Exactly. We have the rest. I was telling my wife, you know, we might get to this before I die. And she's like, what do you mean before you die? I'm like, you don't understand the scope of what it is that we've signed up for. It's I'm in fairly good health, but this is going to be a while. So that's Timeline Scavengers. Every week. Right now, we're releasing 2 episodes a week on Sundays and Wednesdays. We're trying to slowly ramp that up because, again, it's a lot. So we're trying to get the rate up as quickly as possible without breaking ourselves. So
awesome.
Yeah, that's probably the most germane. And you can find that at Timeline Scav on Twitter. And you can find me at Unabashed James for all the other stuff that I do. I usually retweet all the other stuff too.
All right. Well, awesome. Thank you so much for doing this, James. And maybe we'll get you back again before another 2 years.
Yeah, let's do it. Sounds good.
Are you looking for a pick-me-up, something to brighten your day?
If so, the Hallmarkies podcast is the perfect solution. Our top-rated podcast covers all things Hallmark, holiday, rom-com, and more. This includes recaps of your favorite shows like When Calls the Heart, Good Witch, and Heartland.
Each Monday, we have an interview with folks both in front of and behind the camera. We've been blessed to talk with talent like Danica McKellar, Jen Lilly, Fran Drescher, Holly Robinson-Pete, and Amy Acker.
At Christmas time, we cover every movie on Hallmark, Lifetime, Netflix, and more. But we are also festive all year round. So put on some holiday cheer and tune in to the Hallmarkies podcast.
You can find the Hallmarkies podcast wherever you listen to podcasts or on YouTube or at hallmarkiespodcast.com.
That's hallmarkiespodcast.com.
All right, so I hope you enjoyed that conversation about Eternals. Thanks to James Anderson for joining me on that one. Make sure to check out his podcast. And as always, I got to remind you, make sure you're subscribed to Piecing It Together wherever it is you listen to podcasts. And if you like what we do here on the show, maybe give us a little 5-star ratings over on Apple Podcasts or Podchaser or Good Pod. And, you know, make sure you follow me on social media at Piecing Pod. Join the Facebook group Popcorn and Puzzle Pieces. And check out that Patreon I mentioned at the top of the show. Lots of great content over there. And I should mention that I had mentioned on the last episode that because of our upcoming honeymoon, I wasn't quite sure. Episodes might be a little spotty in the month of November. I didn't know for sure if we'd get even the one a week that we always promise you guys, but certainly not the two a week that sometimes happens. But I've already recorded three, and I've got three more recording sessions already scheduled, ready to go. I think we'll probably have two a week for the next couple of weeks at least. So no worries there. We'll be on our honeymoon and there will be plenty of episodes incoming. So don't worry. Lots of Piecing It Together coming your way. And make sure you're subscribed so you can listen to all of it. So yeah, that does it for today. Let's close it out with a piece of music like I always do. And I need something suitably big and huge to go with the Eternals. I'm going to go with the opening track from my most recent regular album. I just released a new album, The Dissection Table, but that is a soundtrack to a film. My most recent just straight-up songs album is self-titled. It's just called David Rosen, and the opening track, Creation, it's pretty damn big and huge and over the top. And yeah, that's a good fit for something like Eternals. So let's close it with Creation. The album David Rosen is available to stream on Spotify and Apple Music and all that. And it's available for sale on iTunes and Bandcamp and all those kinds of places. So enjoy this music and we will be back with more Piecing It Together next week.
an All Points West production, produced by David Rosen in Las Vegas.